Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And we are continuing to take this journey of understanding the warfare of the believer and spiritual warfare. And we've been establishing that we do not fight based on our own strength. We are strong in the Lord because it is He that gives us the power of His might. When we are joined with the Lord, when we are joined with Christ, then we are able to fight. The believer that is ready to fight is the one that is joined with the Lord, is the one that has come to the full understanding of who they are in Christ. This is the believer that can stand firm. But one of the things that you must acknowledge is that whether you like it or not, you are in a warfare. And that is what I highlighted, that there was war in heaven and Satan and his angels were defeated. No place was found for them in heaven and they were cast to the earth. And the Bible says, woe to those who are thrown down, woe to those who are in the earth, because the devil comes and is full of wrath. And so whether you're aware of it or not, you are in a warfare. Those that are not believers, their minds have been blinded. They are under the control of the devil. They are disobedient. They are basically under the remote control of the devil. But we that have crossed over from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God, of the one of his love, then we are the ones who are now contrary to the kingdom of darkness. And any time you're in opposition to him, then the devil declares a warfare to you. He will declare warfare to claim anything that you have not taken possession for. Because out of your own ignorance, it is what the enemy will take advantage of. And what you don't know is what you cannot possess. Any promise that you don't know, that you have not yet claimed, cannot be yours. It cannot be yours. And our Father has left us his will. His will is in the scriptures. The scriptures is full of promises, principles by which we are to live the victorious life. He has given us the Holy Spirit, who is going to guide us, to lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is given to us to complete that work. You know, at times people just focus so much on what Christ has done. They are happy. Yes, we have the finished works of Christ. Indeed, they are finished. But then we also have the present works of the Holy Spirit. That means you're called to lead. You're called to be guided. You're called to be led into all truth. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, he will come and guide us into all truth. The reason that teachers are given to us is such that we can be equipped, we can be strengthened, we can be built up, we can be brought to full maturity. And that is why any time a Christian is ready to grow in the things of God, what God does is that he positions in their lives a teacher. He positions someone who is going to speak to their hearts. It might be from their own family, it might be from the church, it might be in another country, but what God does is that he positions a teacher who is able to speak, who is able to guide, who is able to lead us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit does that work, and he also gives us gifts of men who are able to teach us, to guide us, and if we are sensitive to be led, if we are sensitive to obey, then we are able to be brought to the truth. So we've seen some of the weapons. We've been told that we need to put on the full armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickeries, the tricks. And we do not wrestle against, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means our fight is not really against human beings, but our fight is in the heavens. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, you know, against rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, these are the structures of the kingdom of darkness. We fight against them. And then the Bible tells us, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There is always an evil day that approaches any Christian. You know, everything might be going okay, but you see, The devil always looks for that evil day. Job was living a very comfortable life. God had blessed him. The hedge of protection was around him until that day of evil came, when the devil went and negotiated to be given a chance to attack him. And that evil day came. In a day, he lost his properties. In a day, he lost his sons. In a day, he lost everything that was dear to him. And he cried out to God. Then, before you know it, another evil day came. He was struck with boils. He was struck with, you know, all kinds of sicknesses and pain. And but in all this, the Bible says, Job did not judge God unfaithful. Yes, it was difficult, but he did not judge God unfaithful. So he withstood the evil day. But more important is that God causes us to stand. God causes us to stand. Then we've spoken about the belt of truth, where you guard your loins with truth, and you say truth is the absoluteness of the character of God, of who he says, what he has said he will do. God is not a man to lie, and is not a son of man to change his mind. That is why you must know what God has spoken concerning you. Everything that he has spoken will come to pass, and you have to believe it. When you believe it, then you will be able to overcome. And we've spoken about the breastplate of righteousness, which is a shield to your inner organs, a shield that covers. This breastplate of righteousness protects your inner organs, in that you're very careful to know that it is God that has given us his righteousness. We are made righteous by God, and by which we can approach the throne of God. And yesterday, by the grace of God, we spoke about tying our feet, having our feet tied up, strapped up, and with the readiness that comes from preaching the gospel of peace. You know, the gospel of peace is the gospel of shalom, and shalom means so many things. It means health, it means wealth, it means the prosperity, it means the state of rest of the believer, it means even that security of life after death, you know, that peace and tranquility that comes from God. And when we are called to preach the gospel of shalom, the gospel of peace, when you go to our house and you tell someone shalom, the peace of God be with you, and if he is a man of peace, if he is a son of peace, then he will welcome you, and you're called to fulfill that ministry that is there with you. Then today we shall look about the Bible that speaks about, this is Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. It says, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, when you think about it, it says that the fiery darts, and this refers to the flaming arrows or the fiery arrows of the evil one. Now, you have to go back into time to think about how these wars were done. You know, what would happen is that enemies, whenever they will fight, they will put in, what is it called, the arrows. They will tie them with, you know, with fire. They will place some fire, some paraffin on, or some oil on the arrows, put some cloth on it, and then light it on fire, and then they shoot it. Now, what everything the Roman soldier will do every morning before they go to war, one, of course, is to sharpen their swords, to prepare their swords that they are in order. But one of the things that they will do is that they will have to soak their shields. You know, shields were made from the hide of animals, or, and they were made of this thick skin, and what would happen is that if your shield was dry, and the arrow that is coming with fire comes and lands on the shield, then your shield will be able to burn, and then you won't have any more protection. Now, what the soldiers will do with the garment, and they will soak it, and such that this shield will be wet. And that's then such that when any flaming arrow comes, even if the arrow comes and sticks on the shield, it is quenched by the wetness. It is quenched by the water that is in the shield. So in a way, yes, it does not stop. It stops the arrows from coming. It does not stop, the arrows from being shot at you, but it stops the the power of the flaming arrows from destroying your shield. And you see, it is a metaphor, because what the enemy tries to do is that he tries to send fiery darts against us. He tries to send flaming arrows against the believers. So what does that mean? You see, when the devil tries to attack you, you know, he looks at something. It might just be one area, and most of the time it's mostly, let's say, sickness. You know, a sickness that can come that is stubborn, you know, or a curse that is sent, or a word that is spoken to hurt your emotions, you know, or a struggle in marriage that is sent that is supposed to not only just weaken you, but also to remove your defenses. Yes, you are strong in the Lord. Yes, you are born again. Yes, you speak the word of God. You have believed in God, that God is faithful. But then he sends an arrow. The enemy sends an arrow, let's say, of barrenness, or he sends an arrow of a sickness that is disturbing. And then, or he sends an arrow that wants you to become mad, and you're struggling with your sanity. And yes, you're trying to pray, but it's not going. Why? Because that arrow that has been sent, that dart of the enemy, comes with a force that weakens your defense. It is sticking on you. It is sticking on your shield. It has not gotten to you completely, but it is attempting to break your defenses. It's attempting to break your defenses. That means, yes, you're in the Lord. Yes, you're praying. Yes, you're doing the motions. You're going to church. You're doing your devotions. But there's still that part that is coming to prick. It's like a thorn in the flesh that is coming to prick. And as it pricks, then you can get to the point where either through bitterness you have given room to the devil, or a point where you become discouraged, and then your defenses start to be broken. So these are things that come to attack us. Not, they don't necessarily have the power to reach us, but they have the power to break our defenses, to break what we know about God. And many times, even it can come even in the form of doctrine. You know, it can come in a way that it wants to attack what you know, or what you believe about God. And once it starts to shake the foundation, oh, you've been praying, and why is this not changing? Oh, you've been doing this, this person is a believer, and why are they still behaving like this? That is a flaming arrow of the evil one. It has the power to start to weaken your defenses, to burn your defenses, and before you know it, you are exposed. So now the Bible says, above all, you know, it's like, how do you shield yourself? Yes, you're prepared yourself. You're ready to go and preach the gospel of peace. You've tied your belt with truth. You have the breastplate of righteousness. But above all, what is this that shields you above it all? Is the shield of faith. That means that this faith speaks of not, that, you know, faith comes in that various levels of faith, or various definitions of faith that we have in the scripture. And you must have to, you have to think about it, that faith is speaking in totality. What is this faith? Faith has this, what is this? This body of knowledge. You can start with this body of knowledge of truth. When we speak about our faith, the faith of Christians, it is the entire body of knowledge of truth of the believers. And that is why when Paul speaks to Timothy and tells him, 1 Timothy 6:12, that fight the good fight of faith. You know, there is a fight of faith that which you must fight for. You must contend for the faith. You must contend for the doctrine. You must lay hold of eternal life, where unto thou you are called, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. There is a faith that God gave us. We are called to contend for it. You know, when you're facing all these evil men, all these men, imposters, all these people who are waging, you know, finding their ways into the houses of weak-willed women and deceiving them, or as Jannes and Jambres resisted the truth, resisted Moses. So these are men that resist the truth. There is a call for us to fight that resistance by the word of truth. And that is what is called fighting the good fight of faith. Now, you see, faith also, apart from it being the body of knowledge that God has given us, faith is also the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means Hebrews 11 verse 1. That means faith is that spiritual substance that God gives you as a title deed, guaranteeing the things that he has spoken and the things that he is going to give you. Now, when God has given you a word, when God gives you a word, let's say you're praying, God, I'm praying for my future. I'm praying for my children. I'm praying that I shall receive something. And then God gives you a spiritual substance. God gives you a title. Did you receive? You hear the voice of God, God telling you that, yes, you shall have children. Or he sends a prophecy. Oh, you're going to have twins. Or he gives you a vision. He shows you the future. He gives you a revelation of that which you are asking for. Then, oh, you're praying and you have the peace of God. You reach the note of victory. Then you have received something spiritually that is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That means that this faith translates from the supernatural into the natural. You see, many times we wonder, why is it that we are not seeing the things that we have asked for? It is because we have not yet received them in the supernatural. Yes, you're trusting God for healing, but has God shown it to you in the supernatural? Has God shown it to you? Has God given you the spiritual substance? Faith is a substance. Faith is a title deed. And how do you fight without knowing what God has spoken? You fight by reading the word of God. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These logos that God has given us must be turned into rhema. The written word of God must be turned into the spoken word of God. When this word of God jumps out of the scriptures and comes alive to you, and God tells you, that is your promise. How do we move into levels in our calling with God? We move into levels when you find a promise in God, and as you meditate on it, God tells you, now that you have seen it, it is yours. The Bible says, we behold, as we are beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the very same image from one level of glory to another by the Spirit of God. That means as you learn to sit by the word of God, as you learn to behold the glory of God through the scriptures, you remember the glass is the scriptures. The glass, remember the Bible, James tells us that he that looks into the perfect law of God, you know, and not forgetting, he is that which will be established. He shall receive everything from God. As you behold in a mirror, as you're looking at the word of God, then that which you see, then you have the right to be it. When you see it, it is yours. When you see what God has accomplished for you in Christ, the day you believe something about God, about what God has spoken, is the day that you receive it. And then now what you have to do, how do you fight with that shield of faith? When the enemy comes to speak to you a contrary word, when he tells you you're not being healed, then you go back to the scriptures and you say, the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. That means you tell the devil, my healing was already accomplished. I am not fighting for my healing. I am fighting for my health. I'm fighting from my healing. That in fact, even it even goes beyond the place of healing. It goes to the point of divine health. You walk in divine health. That even before you ask God, God knows already what you need, because he is our Father. You see, there are things that it gets to a point where you don't even need to ask God. You see, your child, there are things that the child does not need to ask. You know that this your child needs, and you provide as a parent. You already, even for now, you're already thinking, oh, by the time my child is 2 years old, they need to be having a trolley, you know, they need to be having this kind of bike. By the time they are 4 years old or 3 years old, you're already thinking about the school. That child is not even bothered or concerned about going to school. But you as a parent, you start to reason, you start to think, you start to think ahead and ask yourself, what will this child be? Where will this child be? Now, that is already God working. Now, when you are established in faith, then you can speak the word of God and you know that this is what God has spoken. So that faith that already receives from God is that receiving faith. And I always say that faith is the currency of heaven. That means it is the way by which you will translate things from the supernatural into the natural. It is the way by which you are going to translate the promises of God into the practicalities of life. This is how you guard yourself. You guard yourself from the fiery darts of the enemy. You guard yourself from the things that weaken your defenses by speaking the word. Remember, faith is a profession by which you profession. If you confess with your mouth, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, the faith that you have is the faith that you speak. In fact, madness. In fact, I always say like faith is a form of madness. You're going to be speaking things that don't make sense. I mean, you will tell someone that, you know what, I know in the next 3 years, I'm going to break out. I'm going to be global. Now, that when you tell someone, it looks like it's a joke. It looks like it's nothing. But the more you speak it, then the more it comes, because angels are waiting for the speakings. The Bible says that they're the ministers who are sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. They're ministering spirits. They are waiting to hear your words. They are waiting to be instructed to carry your words. You see, with your words you shall be judged. With your words you shall be condemned. The same words that you speak is what that are brought to God and are used for judging your way. So you must be careful what you speak. So not only is faith the body of knowledge, it is also that which receives the supernatural and converts it. Faith is also the saving faith. It is by grace you have been saved. Not of works, let any man should boast, but it is the gift. It is a gift of God. So the faith that by which you stand, the faith by which you are born again, the faith by which you have access to God is a gift of God. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the means by which you receive salvation. And that is why anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is why we are called to preach. There is a saving faith. Then there is also, apart from that, there is also the faith that also inspires us to act based on what God has spoken. There is that faith that causes us to act. Faith-inspired actions. You know, there are things that call us to obedience. You see, when God has said something, like you can imagine how the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of things to come, started to build an ark. You can imagine he's building an ark in a time where rain has not appeared, where rain has never come from the sky. He's preaching to people, a preacher of righteousness, telling them that rain is going to come. He's speaking it, he's doing it, and yet no one is hearing him. And they laugh at him until the 120 years. You can imagine, for 120 years, he was called a fool. He was ridiculed. He was embarrassed. But when the time came, the word came to pass. There is a time when your word comes to pass, but anyone that has received faith will act in obedience. So when you say you have faith, we will see your actions. So faith just not goes beyond just what God has spoken. It goes not beyond what God has revealed. It goes not beyond that saving faith that God has given you. But now it goes to the obedience of what God has spoken and has revealed to you. How are you going to conquer? By action. Show me your faith and I will show you my actions. Also, there's also a faith that creates. These are called the eyes of faith. This is the faith that goes into the prophetic. The Bible says with the eyes of faith, you know, Isaac looked into the future and blessed his sons, Jacob and Esau. And also Jacob, when he was old, when he was dying, he also by faith, he blessed his sons. He looked into the future and spoke blessings. This is the faith that creates. You see, when God has established you in faith, there is a point where he will tell you that as you speak it, you you shall see it. As you see, speak it, you shall see it. That means there is a point where God now starts to create through your words. Why? Because our God is a speaking God. He speaks things that are not as if they were. That means there's a point where you, even you, as you start to speak, God gives you the liberty that you start to speak and things start to appear. Why? Because you have been found worthy. You have been trusted worthy. Paul says, as one who is counted worthy, I can say this. I have not heard anything from the Lord, but I can speak as one who is counted worthy. These are the levels of faith by which you stand. How about the faith by which you live by? This is the Bible where it says the just shall live by faith. There is a faith by which you stand by which you persevere, by which you stay to the end, by which you don't look back unto perdition. That means that you keep waiting and keep believing. That is a faith that keeps you grounded even while you're still waiting for the promises. And yet there are also those who still die believing. And the Bible says, and this died in faith. Faith that receives. There's a faith that saves you. There's a faith that translates things into the earth. There's a faith by which you see things, by which you prophesy. There's a faith that leads you to obedience. There's a faith also that keeps you in perseverance, even when you have not received it. And even can even be still called faith in death. I tell you, when God tells you to fight the good fight of faith, it is saying that, you know what? It doesn't matter what my present situation is, but I know that I stand. My Redeemer lives. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That I am the head and not the tail. That he that was made poor that I might be made rich. That I am the righteousness of God. When you learn to speak the truth of the word of God, that your life is hidden in Christ and Christ is in God, that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that you are increasing. When you start to prophesy to yourself, then you shall cancel any flaming arrow of the evil one. It doesn't matter whether the arrows have come, but they shall not break your defenses. You shall stand firm. You shall be strengthened. You shall be encouraged. And I assure you, my brother, my sister, that as you stand by faith, you shall conquer any arrow, any fiery arrow of the enemy. The devil will try. But as you stand firm, your shield that is wet, that is filled with water, remember the water is the word of God. As you speak the word of God, then you shall be able to stand. And I pray that God will help us to stand. And let us fight the good fight of faith. Let us speak it. Let us believe it. And let us live it and obey it and persevere in it. And we shall receive the reward that God has promised us. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. You're welcome, brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Dr. Margaret. For some of us that have seen what faith can do, we understand that, and it has been the Bible's clear. Be it as small as a mustard seed, it can move mountains. I think the other thing that we often struggle with is that the understanding of faith, we limit it to confessing it.
Yeah.
And that's where the mistake is. I think one ought to wed their words and their actions to faith. It's not all about confession, but it's also about what you say. It's about what you do as a Christian that professes your faith all throughout. It is a challenging thing, majorly if you're not fully conscious and fully aware and fully embedded into your faith, because the moments whereby you go before a doctor and the doctor tells you, maybe, look, this thing you have, maybe it's incurable. the situation you have, there's nothing that can be done, or maybe you need a medical, you know.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, it matters what your reaction is at a particular moment. Because the enemy and also is eager at that moment to wait for what your mouth is going to say, what you're going to confess.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, most of us own that negative profession about our life at that moment. That's when we put the faith a challenge. We cannot say, oh, you know, I'm faithful on it. But at that moment, when you're caught off guard, you know, does it come automatic to you to rebuke such pronouncements and say, no, by his stripes I was healed?
Amen.
You know? That those are the moments that matter.
Yeah.
It's not about general professing and, you know, say, you know, I'm faithful. But there are those moments when reality hits, you know?
Yeah.
You can't imagine what Job was going through. Those were realities. This is not, you know, imaginary troubles. Like most people will be having imaginary fears, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, if I lose my job tomorrow, if I fall sick tomorrow, and you tell yourself, but I'll be faithful. No, when that hits, are you going to deny your faith? Are you going to start doubting? Are you going to start seeking? And the other thing is, we say we are faithful, but at the same time thinking for alternatives.
Yeah.
You see? If you're faithful, be faithful. There's only one alternative, and that is God. You know? So, yes, thank you for that. I was just thinking of, you know, the hypocrisy in faith. Sometimes among Christians, you know. Yes, but it's good that we keep talking about these things and reflecting on them. Thank you.
Amen. Powerful. We have a place to speak that word in that moment and rebuke the devil. And indeed we shall see his victory, the victory of God. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us and reminding us that we need to fight. But above all, that we need to soak ourselves with the word of God, with the washing of the word of God. And such that when that enemy fires that arrow, that we shall be able to fight it back. We shall speak the word of God. We shall act. We shall believe that even though things have delayed, they shall come to pass. That which God has spoken is the truth. And God is not a man to lie, nor a son of man to change his mind. And I thank you for your children. I thank you for the word that has come, that Lord, as we have received it, we cancel every arrows of the evil one, O God. We rebuke every works of darkness, every spirits of discouragement, every attacks on our bodies, on our health, on our marriages, on our children, in our workplaces. We come against them in the name of Jesus. Every negative speakings of the evil one, incantations of darkness, as we bind them in the name of Jesus, we declare a new life for us. We declare favor. We declare increase. We declare the blessings of God, the protection of God, the healing of God. That, Lord, by your stripes we were healed, O God. And I thank you that we shall walk in the newness of life. We shall walk in the blessing, in the shalom that you have promised us, that indeed in you there is grace, in you there is power, in you there is wisdom. Thank you for your loving kindness. Walk with us, direct us, protect us, and be our shield and portion. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Blessed day.